chapter 12. Let's go ahead and read these first 12 verses, Luke 12, 1 through 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, God, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. It began this way that there were so many gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, that they trod upon one another. And that's more true now than ever. There are how many billions of people? 8 billion, 10 billion people on the earth right now. The population keeps growing. Isaiah said the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. And he said you put them all together, less than nothing. Very few people give God any thought. They're creators, their benefactor. And this is a dog-eat-dog world. It says they trod one upon another. That describes mankind, doesn't it? They walk all over you. Now he said now to his disciples first. He's speaking to his disciples first. And the Lord had given them ears to hear. He said, blessed are your ears, they hear. So many times it says, having ears, they don't hear, but yet they don't hear. The Lord, the seeing eye and the hearing ear are both of the Lord. He began to say to his disciples, once again, they were chosen by him. They were called by him. My sheep hear my voice. They were blessed by him. He revealed himself to them, the truth to them. They were given ears to hear, eyes to see his glory. They were born again by the Spirit of God through the gospel of Christ. Now, the first thing he says to his disciples is, beware. See that? Beware. Beware. A good shepherd is always watchful and wary. Be aware. That's what beware means. Be aware. A good shepherd. Our Lord is the good, great chief shepherd, isn't it? Beware. And the true shepherd warns. He watches and he warns. He points, there's a wolf, there's danger, there's a pit. Right? My father, I've quoted him so many times on him. He says, scriptures are full of warnings. It's 50-50 at least. Warnings, lest people presume. But it's full of promises, lest we despair. But God, in His mercy, warns us, and Christ warned His disciples, be aware, be watchful, be wary. When He sent them out, when He first called them, the first thing He says, beware of men. Because human beings aren't sweet, nice people. And the greatest proof of that is when the holy and righteous and altogether lovely and good Son of God came here. They killed Him. That's what man is. That's the greatest proof of it. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Pharisee. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisee. Go to Matthew 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. Leaven, you ladies have baked things and put leaven in the dough, and it's a hidden thing, isn't it? And it just takes a little bit, and it will permeate, it will completely fill up that whole lump, won't it? Because the whole lump is leavened. Well, our Lord says, beware of this leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious. The Pharisees were devout. The Pharisees seemed to be pious or devoted or holy people. So they appeared. But it was all an appearance. And our Lord kept saying, they do what they do to be seen. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Boy, if that doesn't describe the vast majority of religion, then. You have no reward of your Father. Verse 2. When you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites. Look what we're doing. Here we are. We come to... In the streets, they have glory of men. That's their reward. Verse 3. When thou doest alms, he's speaking to his people. Let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. When thou prayest, God's people pray. They do pray. If someone doesn't pray, they're not born. They're not alive. They pray. Don't be, verse 5, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. That's what they're after. They want the praise and the approval to be acknowledged of men. When you pray, enter into your closet. Shut your door. We were driving along and yesterday, and there was a woman in a car in front of us, and her license plate read this: we pray. We pray. Oh, really? That's a Pharisee. I want everybody to know that I pray. Who we want to hear us praying is God. Okay, it's hypocrisy. It's playing a part to be seen. That's what the word actor comes from, hypocrite. They're playing a part. They're acting. It's acting. It's not real. It's not what they are. They're playing a part of something that they're not. Our Lord says, beware of that. Don't play a part. Be totally honest. Barnard used to say, honest people don't wind up in hell. Honest before God. Honest with themselves. That is, taking a true and honest look at themselves. We're going to look at that in the next hour. Paul was a Pharisee. And when God sent the truth to him, he He saw himself for the first time, didn't he? And he said, there's no good in me anywhere. Anywhere. Beware of this. Beware of this. In Matthew 23, he keeps pronouncing woe on these hypocrites. He said, they do what they do to be seen. Don't do that. Don't. The phylacteries that the Pharisees wore were scripture verses. Well, if that isn't relevant, people sure like to display scriptures, not to glorify God, but that you might know they're religious. Right? Absolutely. God says, God knows. Pretty obvious to us, even. All right, verse 2 in our text, he said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Everything's going to be exposed. Exposed. John chapter 3, most people know one verse in John chapter 3 and they take it totally out of context. Now here's what our Lord said to Nicodemus. He was talking to a religious Pharisee who came at nighttime. Why? He didn't believe Christ. He was ashamed. He didn't want anybody to see him with Christ. He's a Pharisee. He's saved. No, he's not. He's lost. But God's saving him. The Lord is, this is grace before grace. He's bringing him to Christ who's going to expose him. The Lord's going to expose him, the darkness that he's in. The thing the Lord kept telling Nicodemus is, you must be born again. He was a master in Israel, teacher, a religious leader. And our Lord said, you're a master in Israel, you don't know these things? No, you're a hypocrite. Well, here's what John 3 it says. This is condemnation, verse 19. Dark light is coming into the world, but men love darkness. They cover themselves. Their deeds are evil, verse 20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. What's the light do? Exposes. Light uncovers. Light reveals what's in the darkness. Neither cometh to the light. They don't come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, what's that? That means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. Cometh to the light. Come to Christ. Why? That his deeds might be made manifest. This is what Psalm 139 says. Search me, O God. Send the light of thy word. O Lord Jesus Christ, search me. That his deeds might be made manifest that they're wrought in God. I don't want to play a part. I want real salvation. Lord, I want you to do a work in me. Please. And we come to Christ, the light. Come to the word. Lord, take thy word and do a work in me. All right, back to our text. Luke chapter 12. So, Pharisees, beware of it. Nothing's covered, it won't be exposed. Everything's going to be revealed. The day shall declare it. Alright, look at verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. This is, you can see this in several ways, at least two or three anyway. That all hypocrisy will be exposed. That the Lord has no secret disciples. There's no such thing as a secret disciple. Right? It's like being married. You can't. I mean, why would you want to keep a secret? Huh? If you love that person? No. If you don't want it to be known, you're ashamed. So, and there are. There are people all over. Southern Baptists start going back to what they call the Founders Movement. If you go back to Southern Baptists, their original J.P. Boyce, founder of the Southern Baptist Convention of Louisville, Kentucky, he wrote a book and systematic theology, and we looked at it in the preacher class. It was a great book, and it's the truth. It's the truth. But Southern Baptists start going back looking at their old statements of faith, and it's all Calvinism. Okay? But they left that so long ago, it doesn't even resemble it. All right? They started playing with that doctrine again. They started seeing, this is in our old church bylaws and our own old statements of faith and Philadelphia Confession of Faith and the London Confession of Faith and all these. It's there. It's there. They can't deny it. It's there. It's in the Bible. So they say, well, we believe that, but it's family doctrine. That's what they call it. It's family doctrine. We kind of keep that to ourselves. And you don't believe it. You don't believe God. God didn't save you by sovereign mercy and grace, or else you'd preach it from the housetop. You're not ashamed of it. If salvation's of the Lord. If the Lord saved you, boy, you're going to tell everybody who saved you. You cannot believe free will and be saved. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot be saved and believe a lie. And you can't be saved if you're ashamed of the truth. All right, now our Lord in Matthew's gospel, he says it this way. He said, what I tell you in private, speak it in public. That's what he said. He said, what I tell you in private, you get on the rooftops. They're going to hate you and they're going to kill you for it. But he says, possess your soul now. Not one hair will fall to the ground until I say so. But you declare it. Declare it. From the housetop, speaking. Verses 8 and 9, he said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. Christ is going to stand and confess his people. These are my, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. Those that are with me, called, chosen, and what? Faithful. Faithful to my glory. Faithful to my truth. Faithful to my cause. Like David, they stand. Is there not a cause yet? The cause of God and truth. The cause of God's glory. The cause of Christ's glory. That's the cause, and that's what we stand for. And like, did you read Spurgeon's quote? He said, the truth has been burned in me, and I'm going to believe it if I'm the only one who believes it. That's Martin Luther. That's Paul. He said, no man stood with me, but while he stood for the truth, then why? Because he's been born again. Christ is in him. The truth is in him. He's no hypocrite, not playing a part. Christ is his life. Christ gave him life. He's going to tell everybody who gave him life. So, verse 9, he says, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. All right, go back in verse 4. He says, now I say unto you, friends. Friends. My friend of God. Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, and no more that they can do. Now, brothers and sisters, let's just camp here just a minute, okay? He was sending his disciples out into a hostile world. And Matthew 10 and Luke, he talks about what all they're going to face. We don't face anything even close to that now. Not even close. We have so many lesser fears. They're really needless fears. Needless. Completely needless. And it dishonors our Lord to be so fearful. It's dishonoring to our Lord. Now look at what he says. And all of these words are for comfort, 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 reassurance, comfort, telling them and us whose hands they are in and whose every hair on your head. That's an insignificant thing, hair. Isn't it? It really is. If you got a lot of it, I'm here to tell you, it's insignificant. And if you're proud of it, it's going to fall out. Eventually. Barbara Ross one time told me I had pretty eyes. She said, "Your eyes are so pretty." She said, "That's why the Lord made you bald. So you would be proud." I said, "Well, thank you, Barbara. I think she meant it well, you know." A rebuke. Fine. You know, Barbara said whatever she felt like saying. This is the truth. But I'm still proud. Anyway, where am I? The hairs of your head are all numbered. He sent them out. And he said, verse 4, he said, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that there's no more that they can do." They. What's they? Who are they? It's enemies. These things, these whatever we're afraid of. They. We're afraid of so many things, aren't we? Did you hear what they said? We're afraid of, all right, sin. Listen to this. If we die, brothers and sisters, we ought to welcome death. Because then all our troubles are over. I don't understand. I really don't understand, except understanding something of our frame, this flesh that gets in the way. Scripture says, Ecclesiastes 7, the day of one's death is better than birth when you're born into this world. Okay? What do you got ahead of you? A life full of sin and misery and pain and sorrow and grief and toil and labor. That's Psalm 90. If you live 70 years, you live 80 years, you had a strong labor and sorrow, and then what? You die. And you lose everything. That's what we've got to look forward to when we're born into this world. But when you die, that's all over. Who says so? Jesus Christ. Well, somebody just come back from the dead and tell... He did! There's nothing more that they can do. Brother Bruce and I were talking about this over the phone. We were just rejoicing. Who are they? Whoever they are, they can't touch you anymore. Sin can't touch you anymore. Satan can't tempt you anymore. The world can't bother. No matter what anybody says, it will never bother you again. Pain, suffering, sorrow, grief, fear, worry. Never again. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, peace, righteousness, tranquility, paradise. You don't want that? What's it going to take? Lord, just take your breath. It's over. Fall asleep. He called it sleep. None of us fear going to sleep. Every one of us look forward to that. Is the older you are. The older you are. When you're real young, you don't ever want to go to sleep. And then when you go to sleep, it's hard to wake them up. But the older you get, the harder it is to sleep. The thing you look forward to more than anything. Brothers and sisters, he giveth his beloved sleep. And after that, there's no more anybody or anyone or anything can ever do to you again. My soul, what's wrong with this? Welcome, sweet death. Huh? Brother David Edmondson and I were talking about, either Scott said it or my dad said it, one of the two said it, and they're both gone. Right now. With Job. Standing looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Just full of joy unspeakable. But one of them said, we spend too much time trying to live on the wrong side of life. Trying to live to keep these bodies alive. Rather than looking forward to eternity. We spend too much time on the wrong side of living. I said it years ago, and I'm not trying to teach people so much how to live as how to die. in Genesis, all those people that lived 969 years. You know what it says about every one of them? And he died. Didn't matter how long he lived, he died. Here's wisdom. Oh, that they were wise, that they would consider this. Their latter end. It's all going to end. And those of you that are getting older, it's over. It's, but really, it's just about to begin. I can't convince anybody of that. I can't convince myself of it. But our Lord does. Now here's verse 5. Well, that's a message in itself. There's no more they can do. No more can be done. Verse 5. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed. Oh. Who kills? They don't kill. Diseases don't kill. Bullets don't kill. God kills. Is that right? There's such peace there. Such peace. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Hell. Do you ever hear the word anymore except somebody's cussing? 54 times in the scripture. 13 times, I wrote it down here. 15 times in the gospel, and every time the Lord said it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it. It's real. Why? How? He created it. He went through it. He has the keys to it. He's the one that puts people there. Freedom. He said, now, fear him. Has the keys of hell and death at his side. That's Christ, isn't it? Not gentle Jesus, but the Lord Jesus, Lord of hosts. Fear him. Now he gives his disciples great comfort. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthing? Not one of them is forgotten before God. Do you love the sparrows? It's old people like to feed birds. They just do. They like to sit on the porch and watch the birds. And we do. We love the sparrows, especially. They're worthless, aren't they? They're worthless. Well, I wouldn't kill one of them. Remember when I was a young boy, I got a BB gun, got a Daisy, like the rifleman's gun, cocked. But, and I was out, you know what I did, like Opie Taylor. I shot a bird. It fell down at my feet, Stephen. Why did I do that? Oh, I felt so bad. Bird wasn't hurt, did that. But I don't want to shoot them now. Do you? I like to. They glorify God. They give me enjoyment, don't they? They sing. There's a real lesson in the sparrows. They're worthless. How many are there? Zillions. He said, not one of them. Not one insignificant, worthless little sparrow will die unless God killed him. It's forgotten of God. It's not even forgotten of God. He feedeth. His eye is on, Jeanette sings that song, his eye is on the sparrow. So I know he watches me. Are you not worth more than many sparrows? More value? The very hairs of your head are numbered, he said. The very hairs of your head. That's the most insignificant thing on our body, I guess, is hair. I told you, I gave you an illustration of, you know, when your child is born, every part of that little fella, or girl, is just precious to you. Every part of it. Look at her little ears. Look at her little toes. You remember their little feet? Their toes are just... I loved Hannah's feet when she was born. They're just so tiny. I could just eat them. You remember Mark? Everything about them. Every hair on her head. He says the hairs of your head are precious and numbered to him. And they're numbered, they're ordered, everything. And so, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You're more valued. Now, there's no value in us. We're unworthy. But if Christ died for us, that's what gives us value. Right? If Christ paid the infinite price for us, God's not going to lose one of us. He's not going to lose one of us. Great value. Precious blood of the Lamb. Verse 9. Now, who's verse 8? Now, who confesses me before men? What is it to confess Christ? Well, it's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized. Our Lord said that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? It's like marriage, you know, baptism. I've likened baptism to two things, a funeral and a wedding at the same time. A funeral and a wedding. What you're saying when you're baptized is, when Christ died, I died. I was crucified with Christ. I was buried. I deserved to die. I should have died. I'm the guilty one, but God made him to be sin for me. I believe that. And when Christ was buried, I deserve to be buried and put out of sight and out of mind. I don't deserve to live. I died. When Christ was buried, I believe he took my sins with him. But Christ arose. And we arise hoping, quickened together with Christ to walk in newness of life. It's a funeral. My death. Look forward to it. When I lay this body of death down in the grave, it's going to be the most wonderful thing to ever happen to us. Next to, well, on the same par as being born again. And secondly, it's a marriage. What you're saying before people publicly is, I believe Christ. He's my husband. He's my life. He's my righteousness. He's my salvation. He's my all and in all. Christ, I believe him. I'm looking to him. He's everything to me. I want to be his disciple. I want to be his bride. I want to live with him forever. And I want everybody to know. Now, if you really love somebody, you'll marry him, won't you? You won't be ashamed of him. Won't be ashamed of him at all. And that's what our Lord said. Whoever denies me, and I've said this so many times, if you confessed that other Jesus, that weak Jesus that you led into your heart, you haven't confessed Christ. You need to confess the true Christ. All right, verse 10. Now these are, I maybe ought to save this for, I'm out of time. I think I will. It's too important to.